Yeah, you don't know, Migua
good evening. So last time we were continuing to look at the presentation on karma. So the reason we're looking at this is because all of us, like all sentient beings, want to experience only happiness and don't want to experience suffering at all. So despite not wanting to experience any kind of difficulty or suffering at all, we do continuously meet difficulties and other obstacles and the like. So where do these come from? So these come from the contaminated karma that we have accumulated in the past due to acting under the influence of deluded minds or afflicted minds. And then when that contaminated karma ripens, it ripens in our suffering experiences. So this is why we're looking at karma, and we've started, we've been looking at the 10 non-virtuous actions, because it's to come to know what these are that one then can turn away from them or abandon engaging in these non-virtuous actions. So we looked at the previous 2 weeks, we've looked at the non-virtues of killing, stealing, and sexual misconduct, so the three of the body. And then we started with those of the speech, where we looked at the first three of the four, that of lying, of divisive speech, of harsh words. So we've looked at six of the 10 non-virtues so far. And in brief, by refraining from engaging in these, one will thereby abandon a large proportion of the negativity we accumulate. And tonight we're starting from the bottom of page 108 with worthless chatter, the fourth of the four non-virtues of speech. So this is also often translated as idle talk or meaningless speech or senseless speech.
All right,
meaningless speech or worthless chatter. So this, of course, is expressed by the mouth, being speech, but it comes motivated by a mind. So the mind that will motivate this will be an afflicted mind, or a mind dominated by the afflictions. So illustrations of worthless chatter is just, in brief, it would be gossip. So talking about the comings and going of the world, this person's news and that person's news, this kind of thing. So something that's kind of pertinent for all of us is the many conversations we would have had about the American elections. And so this is something we have interest in, but we don't have any impact on. And we don't even have one single vote on it. Yet engaging in a lot of excited talk about this is also a meaningless talk or worthless chatter. In our work environment, we of course do need to communicate with people, and or environments such as our work, we do need to communicate with people. And then if we're talking about something that has meaning and is in accordance with reality, and we're talking about what this needs to be done and this is how it should be done and the like, then this isn't what is meant here. This isn't considered worthless chatter. So further expressions of idle speech would be, for example, singing love songs. But it doesn't mean that all forms of singing would be considered worthless chatter. So sometimes we see that someone makes an offering of music and therefore will sing something to their teacher. So this wouldn't be considered meaningless speech. If we're traveling along a road and we see something that that we like or that attracts us, maybe looking at that and thinking about it, this again doesn't come in this category. It would be rather meaningless expressions. This is more what is meant here. The practice, engaging in idle talk, this, whilst it can accumulate negativity, it's not doesn't accumulate great negativity. However, having said that, the one type that is harmful and does accrue greater non-virtue is when one interrupts someone's engagement in virtue. So for example, if you come here and someone is reciting some mantra or saying some prayers or doing their commitments and the like, and we interrupt them and chat to them and distract them from their virtue, then that is a non-virtuous act of some size. Whereas the regular idle speech or worthless chatter, this, whilst it's it's negative, it's not in itself particularly harmful. And as given here on page 109, the illustrations of in the text, it's about the Sangha doing pujas and the like. But of course, it doesn't only relate to the ordained, but to everyone. So if we have a gathering here and we're doing some puja, and you may be a bit bored, and you either chat to someone around you or you just talk to yourself, but this distracts the person next to you, then this is included in meaningless talk. So here, even if you're just talking to yourself, but someone gets distracted by that, this too is meaningless talk, idle chatter. When one's engaging in a puja, whether one's ordained or not, it's important to keep one's mind on the purpose of the puja, so the progression for all sentient beings away from the states of suffering to the attainment of liberation from suffering and even the attainment of enlightenment, that the greatest form of happiness. So it's important to keep our mind focused on that objective. And moreover, many pujas are sponsored, and the sponsor will have a particular request. And it's important then to also have one's mental attention on the fulfilling the wishes of the sponsor. So whether it's for the healing of illness or for their progression on the spiritual path, whatever it may be, that is the purpose of the puja, and for it to achieve that purpose, those engaging in the puja need to have their mind focused on that. And furthermore, often in a puja, then especially in the great monasteries, then tea and bread and the like is distributed. And then this is all sponsored. So it's important then that when these offerings are consumed, that they are done, these offerings are accepted and consumed in accordance with the wishes of the benefactor. And those wishes are, of course, the purpose of that puja. And that is where those engaging in the puja, that's where their mind should be. That's where their mental focus should be. Then especially when one is if one is distracted and is engaging in this idle talk and then consumes the offering, then this really is a great negativity.
Pure sana, judgment by the gilly, the room, Maris. And then the men begeda, 파비기 다진 마마 토바네 파바기 디디기 람 토난 고람 디니 토토게 이나 엔 데소라 미코 디고
우마레스 However, if those who are engaging in the puja, they are Arya beings or they're foe destroyers, then they won't be accumulating negativity because of the progression in their mind or the accomplishments in their mind. So this here is now in the middle of page
109.
The text progresses and gives further examples, but about the how offerings should be accepted, but that you can read here. But the to put it in brief, when one is engaging in pujas or in one's commitments and the like, then one's mind should be on on refuge. Should be your mind should be on the generation of bodhicitta and the like, and not thinking about some. A result that comes from doing the puja for yourself or your commitments and the like, especially in terms of receiving something such as offerings, etc. So one's mind should be on things such as refuge and bodhicitta.
Kirim da, Torim quality, the Nigel of Janshia, Kuores, the Nigi Ganga, Meva said, and then I told the chicken, I think I chick chigu, Sata, Chigu, Senna, the name by now, Tamatale, and Kunwa, the Ninga court, Chichevala, Kunwa Tila, and Jambata, and Ye Jambata, Chaju Sem, Kuwa, Ninja Chaju Semta, don't you to be sure of the Kuwa, the name Ganga, Meva said, and the one year Mato, Yamato, then Damsi, the Domba, the Yamason.
So those who engage in beneficial activities for others, such as going to the homes and doing pujas, or accepting a request to do pujas for others, it's important that if they engage in such beneficial activities, that they have met the requirements for that. So if talking now in a tantric context, they should have received the required initiation, they should be holding their samayas, and they should have knowledge of the generation and completion stage, so that these requirements should be in place. And then furthermore, when engaging in the recitation of mantra, then here their mind should be in their mind should be focusing on love and compassion and the like. So this is very important. If someone, on the other hand, knows a little bit of about Tantra and maybe has learned a few rituals and the like, and then presents themselves as someone worthy of making requests to say prayers for or say mantras on your behalf and the like, and then engages in such activities, this is really harmful.
Another
illustration where this worthless chatter accumulates great negativity is in if one is in a retreat, and so and an approximation retreat and the like, and you are distracting others through this worthless chatter, then this too will accrue great negativity, because this worthless chatter is preventing yourself and others from attaining the full benefits of doing such a retreat.
Then I You got this staggering sense that don't do it. That it is a short and shadow charm. Don't you? And that thing, Archer, the shepherd, kind Archer, the good dealer, Gunung, Gunung, she, and the Sambaji, Joachi, Tadu, she tongue. Dishimatana, Archer, shepherd, Archer, Gone, Lesa, Yoma, Lesa, Tuma, Sonja, Lesa, Tuma, she tongue in Jimmy.
Just to put this worthless chatter back into its context, so we've been speaking about the Ten Non-Virtues in terms of creating the causes to propel a future rebirth. So in terms of non-virtuous karma, it propels a rebirth into the lower realms. So that's the context that we've been looking at all the non-virtues in. So for our worthless chatter to propel a rebirth into the lower realms, like the other non-virtues, it requires the four characteristics. There needs to be the identification, or there needs to be the basis, there needs to be the motivation, there needs to be the performance, and fourthly, the completion. So the same four aspects as each of the non-virtues, as each of the ten non-virtues.
ただし、スタンバジョは、たとすれ、シーセーディン、アンズゲタ、カレコ、シェーブ、ナディシェーブ、シーディシェーブ、シェーブ、シェーブ、シェーブ、シェーブ、シェーブ、シェーブ、シェーブ、シェーブ、シェーブ、シェーブ、シェーブ、シェーブ、シェーブ、シェーブ、シェーブ、シェーブ、シェーブ、シェーブ、シェーブ、シェーブ、シェーブ、シェーブ、シェーブ、シェーブ、シェーブ、シェーブ、シェーブ、シェーブ、シェーブ、シェーブ、シェーブ、シェーブ、シェーブ、シェーブ、シェーブ、シェーブ、シェーブ、シェーブ、シェーブ、シェーブ、シェーブ、シェーブ、シェーブ、シェーブ、シェーブ、シェーブ、シェーブ、シェーブ、シェーブ、シェーブ、シェーブ、シェーブ、シェーブ
So what are these four aspects in the context of worthless chatter? So the basis is whatever subject one is talking about. So for example, gossiping about two people or talking about things. So it doesn't have to be people, it can be about things and the like. So that would be the basis, the subject, and then the intention is this motivation of talking. And so this can come from this will come from an afflicted mind. Usually it's going to be a mind such as either attachment or aversion. So that's from such afflictions, the intention to engage in worthless chatter will come. And the performance is the speaking, and the completion is having spoken. So for this completion, it's just having spoken. It's not necessarily having been heard and understood. So as previously thought, karma to be accumulated from a non-virtuous act, one of the 10 non-virtues, it needs to be done in completion. In other words, all four components need to be present. So if there's an object and you have the wish to talk about it and it's an afflicted wish, but you don't engage in the talk about it, then you've only completed the first two components, not the third and the fourth. So therefore, this whilst it accumulates some negativity, it's not a complete action, and therefore it cannot propel a rebirth.
And then
To give an illustration of a complete action of idle talk that can lead to the propelling karma being accumulated of the strength to lead to a low realm rebirth. An example would probably be something like talking negatively about the Buddha Dhamma from with a negative intention, so with an afflictive mind. So talking disparately about the Buddha Dhamma, saying, "Oh, there's no such thing as karma. This is a load of nonsense, and the Buddha never existed." But doing this from a negative basis, so from a negative mind, and then. This would have the strength to propel. I believe this would have the strength to propel a rebirth into the lower realms because of the harm it can be done to others. So, in an illustration like this, this wouldn't be just chatting to oneself, but talking to others. And because of the harm to them, it's my view that this would lead to a karmic seed of sufficient strength to propel a rebirth into the lower realms.
Then,
This worthless chatter, so of course this is speech, it comes from the mouth. So how does the karma get accumulated? Because karma doesn't depend on something coming from the mouth. So karma is mental. So this is then very closely related to intention. So if we look at the intention in a little more detail, we can say there are two types of intention. So there's the causal intention, so this is the intention to talk. And that's all. Then there's another kind of intention, and this is the mind that is thinking about the subject matter. And so from this part of the intention, the karma comes. Now, we're staying with this example, the example which produces strong negative karma, and that is having this negative mind towards the Buddha Dhamma and wanting to disparage the Buddha Dhamma, and then and later talking to someone about that and saying that Buddha never existed, the law of causality is just made up, there's no such thing, etc. So the karma comes from having this negative mind that is wanting to say these things. So my last sentence wasn't clear. The negative mind, the negative karma comes from the mind that is negatively thinking about the Buddha Dhamma, and then later the expressions will come. So then the negative karma doesn't come from the part of the intention of wanting to talk. It's a second part of the intention, thinking negatively about the subject matter, in this case the Buddha Dhamma, and then the karma will be completed when the other two steps come, the performance and the completion. So we've given some illustrations here of how negative karma can be accumulated from worthless chatter. So the strength of the negative karma can vary, of course, and so what will lead to the variation in the strength of the negative karma accumulated is dependent on the strength of the motivation, the strength of the mind. So if the mind is very heavily negative towards, for example, the Buddha Dharma, and wants to then criticize and disparage the Buddha Dharma and engages in that, then that strength of that mind will determine the strength of the karma created. The Vaibhashika tenets, the Vaibhashika school of Buddhism, they will say that the accumulation of karma is actually the speech. So they will use, when they talk about karma speech, they will say the negative karma comes from the speech. The non-Vaibhashika, so the Satchantika Chittamatrans and the Middle Way schools, they hold that this mental factor of intention, that is karma. So here again we have a difference in presentation between the Vaibhashika tenet and the other Buddhist schools. This explanation then can be applied to all three types of physical negativities, non-virtuous actions, the killing, stealing, sexual misconduct, as well as all four types of verbal non-virtuous actions, that of stealing, divisive speech, harsh speech, and worthless chatter. So all of them, the karma is this mind of intention, according to the non-Vaibhashika schools. The karma is this mind of intention. And so for this karma then to be complete, it needs all four stages. But the karma itself is this mind of intention, this mental factor of intention.
Then
The opposites of worthless chatter, which is the opposite of this, would of course lead to the accumulation of virtue. So here, one has the mind that is completely the opposite. So for a start, it's not an afflictive mind. So it would be a happy mind, a peaceful mind. And then from this, one would engage in, one would have a mind of the Dharma, so maybe a mind that's focused on refuge or on bodhicitta and the like, and then one would engage in an oral expression, maybe a recitation of a prayer, the refuge prayer or the like. So here, there's this expression of, for example, a refuge prayer, but it's done on the basis of a virtuous mind that is engaged in thinking about the meaning of the Dharma. And then from this will lead to the accumulation of virtue that leads to that leads to a good result. So here's something that's good to know, that one is, for example, reciting manis or the refuge prayer and the like. If you ask, is this virtuous? Yes. Is it virtuous karma? No. Before to be virtuous karma, it depends on having the mental factor of intention that is virtuous, and then engaging in the action. So the mere recitation of a mantra or prayer, that is virtuous, but it's not virtuous karma. That requires intention, because karma, as we've heard now, is this mental factor of intention. So that needs to be present with the recitation. And it's the same with non-virtuous acts as well. So for example, harsh speech or worthless chatter, the mere utterance, this is non-virtuous, but not non-virtuous karma. The karma is the mind behind that. So this intention, which is now an afflicted mind, this mental factor of intention, that is the non-virtuous karma. The mere expression, if it doesn't have that intention, it is not, it's non-virtuous, but it's not non-virtuous karma. So we've studied tenets before, so now we're familiar with the different philosophical schools. So now here we can add to our knowledge that according to the Vaibhashika, this mere expression of sound whether it's coarse, harsh words or worthless chatter, that according to them is the accumulation of negative karma. Whereas the non-Vaibhashikas, they say that's just a negativity, but not negative karma. That requires the mental basis, or the intention, the mental factor of intention to be negative, for negative karma to be accumulated. The reason I'm telling you about the difference between the Vaibhashika and the non-Vaibhashika is that you may well read a book, and in the book it says harsh speech is negative karma. And if it says that, it's not wrong, but that means the view of the Vaibhashika is being expressed. Whereas when you read that the mind of intention that leads to harsh speech, that is negative karma, then you know that is the view of the Satchantika or the Chittamatrans or the Madhyamikas. So then, again, just in summary, and it relates to what we've covered so far, the three physical non-virtuous actions and these four non-virtuous actions or speech. So with all of them, the mere action itself would be non-virtuous, but having the presence of the intention, the mental factor of intention, that is afflicted and negative, then this, with the action, leads to the accumulation of non-virtuous karma. And then, moreover, for that karma to be able to propel a rebirth into the lower realms, it needs all four aspects to be complete. The basis, the intention or motivation, the performance, and the completion. So if you have all four complete, it will be a non-virtuous action that can propel a lower realm rebirth. If any are missing, it will then either be non-virtuous karma or just non-virtuous, depending on whether the mental factor of intention is present or not. So now we come to the top of page 110, and we start with the first of the three mental non-virtuous actions, that of covetousness. What is covetousness? It is having this coveting someone else's possessions. So this mind of, I want what someone else has.
Then
same as we've had before, for the for covetousness to be a negative karma, it requires this mental factor of intention. For it to be a propelling karma, it needs to have all four aspects present, that of the basis, intention, performance, and completion. So as was just said, for this an act of covetousness to be complete, it requires these four aspects. So the four aspects would be first to identify the basis, then to have this the mind of intention arising from an afflicted basis. So the intention could come from a mind of attachment or a mind of aversion. It could come from any of the afflictions. And so this mind of intention is, I want to get that, I want to have this. And then making a plan as to how one can get this desired object. Then the performance is the actual activity. So for example, would be to say to someone, oh, this thing that you have, it's so fantastic, how wonderful it would be if you were to give it to me. So that would be the activity. And the completion would be, oh, thank you so much, it is now mine.
So if
not all four aspects are complete, then negativity is accumulated, but not negative karma. So, for example, the object's identified, you have the wish for this, you have this desirous mind for it, but you don't do anything about it. Then you've accumulated negativities, but not negative karma. Similarly, if you do take it the next step further, I like this, I want it, and this is how I'm going to get it, and then one is maybe going to engage in the activity, but then you change your mind, say, oh, actually this isn't what I should be doing, and you stop, then you've engaged and you've completed, there's been the step of performance, but not the step of completion. So therefore, negativity has been accumulated, but not negative karma. When all four are complete, all four aspects are complete, then this mental factor of intention, this becomes the karma that is now created, the karma of covetousness. In brief, this mind of covetousness is this mind of that I want to have this, I want this to be mine. This is the mind of covetousness. The next one is, or the ninth, is wishing harm on others, or often known as malice or harmful intent. So this is the mind wishing to harm others. Illustrations of the mind wishing to harm others would be wanting to stab someone, wanting to harm someone. So this is this mind of malice or this mind of harmful intent. Amongst the mental factors, the three poisons that would motivate a mind of wishing to harm others, the most frequent would be, of course, anger, and then also the mind of ignorance. And whilst the mind of attachment can lead to actions of harmful intent or the mind of malice, it's a less common affliction for such a mind, whereas anger is the most common. So minds such as knowing that someone else is experiencing difficulties and just not caring about it, just thinking, well, so what? Or even being rejoicing in the difficulties that others are experiencing, then this would be the mind of malice, the mind of harm, of wanting to have this to be harmed. The tenth of the Ten on Virtues is that of wrong views. So illustrations of wrong views would be denying the law of karma, denying the existence of Buddhas, saying there's no such realm as the hells, etc. So these would be illustrations of wrong views. So for a wrong view to be such, then it's if someone, for example, is asked, did the Buddha exist? Was there a Buddha? And they say, well, I have no idea. This isn't a wrong view. This is just a not knowing. But for it to be a wrong view, it's more this conscious no, there never was, or the law of causality is non-existent. This is a fallacy. It's not true. So this more active mind, more assertive mind, this would be constitute a wrong view. So the text, I think, near the bottom of page 110, gives illustrations that non-Buddhists in the past used to present to show that there was no such thing as the law of karma. So they'd say that the sun rises. This is just a natural phenomenon, that water flows downhill and not in another direction. It's just a natural phenomenon. This is inherently existent. Water inherently flows downhill. The sun rises inherently. And likewise, there's no past and future life. So when someone dies, they are just extinguished, they cease. Similar to if one draws a flower on a piece of paper and then it crumples up that piece of paper, there's no more flower. So it's the same when someone dies. Their continuum just ceases. So these are illustrations of wrong views.
Yeah, that's
To give another illustration of what isn't a wrong view, because it's not just a mere not knowing. So, for example, if there is something in a drawer, and someone asks you, "Oh, is my item in that drawer?" and you say honestly, "No, it's not there," and it turns out it is. So you didn't know that. That's not knowing. This isn't a wrong view. When we were studying tenants, we had the illustration several times about a coiled rope being misperceived as a snake. So we have a coiled rope over there, someone sees it and mistakes it for a snake and thinks, "Oh, there's a snake over here." So this also isn't a wrong view. However, it is a wrong consciousness. And it's a wrong consciousness because a non-existent is being mistaken for an existent. So it's a wrong consciousness, but not a wrong view. All wrong views are necessarily wrong consciousnesses. However, all wrong consciousnesses are not necessarily wrong views. So, for example, the coiled rope being mistaken as a snake is a wrong consciousness, but not a wrong view. However, all wrong views are wrong consciousnesses. So the difference between the two comes down to that a wrong view will be based on a tenet, so on a philosophical tenet, and probably related to something like whether things exist inherently or not, or whether things that do exist, being told that they don't exist, for example, like the Buddha and causality and the like, saying, "Oh, these things don't exist." So these are wrong views, because they come from an understanding of tenets. And again, so if it's a wrong view, it is also, or it is necessarily, a wrong consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
amongst other religions, there are some that believe in making blood sacrifices. So they believe that by killing a living being and offering that corpse or the corpse to their gods, then they create virtue. And so this is something that, according to their philosophical tenets, is a virtuous activity to do, something one should engage in. So according to Buddhists, this is of course a wrong view. According to their tenet, it isn't. It's a correct view. But for us, this undoubtedly is a wrong view. And it's also you mentioned in the text about what why non-virtuous wrong views is creates very heavy negative negativity, and that's because if one has a wrong view, one will not accept the law of causality. One won't accept the attainment of liberation or that a state of Buddhahood exists. So by not accepting this, by willfully not accepting this, one of course doesn't strive for them. And furthermore, one is likely to disparage it and discourage others from engaging in striving for liberation or from acting in accordance with the law of causality and the like. So therefore, the wrong views are very negative. So there's a quote here on page 111. There is no worse action than taking a... hang on. Okay, sorry, it's just above this quote. So it's the first full paragraph on page 111. To consider the text of such doctrines true and to follow them, or even without doing so, to think that the Buddha's words, your teacher's instructions, or the texts of the learned commentators are in error, and to doubt and criticize them, are all included in what is meant by wrong views. So amongst the ten on virtues, that of wrong views is probably the heaviest. And then, in addition, the act of killing is also a very heavy negative karma. The reason that killing is specifically mentioned here as being such a great negativity is because all beings value their lives, and so by killing any being, no matter how insignificant they may appear to us, that is a being that values their life, and by killing what they value most, then it is a very heavy negative karma. Then the reason why wrong views is such a heavy negative karma is because from the obstacle that it creates on one's own path in terms of spiritual progression, accumulation of virtue, and the like. So therefore, wrong views is also a very heavy negativity. In the middle of page 111, there's a reference to a sutra from the Buddha, where the Buddha said that if you take a life, then you will suffer the karmic result for that for 500 rebirths. So this is correct, and it is referring though to where the act of the complete act of killing has not been purified through using the four opponent powers. If the four opponent powers have been applied, then it's not going to have a full karmic ripening result such as that. And the text gives further examples of how, someone invites lamas and monks to come to their home to do some pujas, and then in order to offer them a delicious meal, they kill animals and the like, then despite having a virtuous intent in terms of inviting the monks over and wanting to make offerings to them, through this act of killing, they accumulate tremendous negativity. And similarly, if one is engaged in virtuous activities such as building a Dharma center or a stupa or a monastery and the like, or any other kind of virtuous activity, but one kills in the process, or one doesn't take good care of the money that one has gathered, right, that has accumulated, or the money that one has fundraised for that's whatever you're building, then great negativity will come from this. So therefore, even when engaging in virtuous activities, one mustn't think that the virtue that one accrues will outweigh the negativity that one may accumulate. Through having these wrong views present in one's mind, one cannot include oneself amongst Buddhists. The entrance way to being included amongst Buddhists is to take refuge. So if you don't accept that the Buddha existed, the founder, the teacher existed, you don't accept his teachings in the expression, for example, of the law of causality, then how can one take refuge? So one, of course, then is prevented from being included
amongst Buddhists.
Further illustrations here of where one can create great negativity is again, as was just mentioned, when one has fundraised money for a particular virtuous activity, but one doesn't use the money well, so one isn't careful and careful about how one uses it, one can accumulate great negativities in this way. Similarly, if one teaches and receives offerings, if one doesn't use those offerings in a beneficial way, then one can also accumulate great negativities.
Mm-hmm. Dene yigi mi gosne nafsim nesim lokta seydi lokta di dan tehan dole nade tesko baro çagresin zo. Sanga jogi çata je çöle deba işe çan dolo jo çeşim ata lokta ya kahu. Da nafsim nesim seydi tes yuva dan çigene dan nafsim nesim seydi andi de dusam dana ne diyorsa yaya gansında diyorsa kumbura çiz ne duada diyorsa şeray yoksa maraya sımsana çiz diyorsa çünçün çünçün rahat beni nefsim rahat nesimle nesimle çünçün rahat yungur vada diyorsa yine dini insan gansızı samtavan izi gide lüci tane yunga yusum yimigi venane nansonu ciyegi leçidi satusa maraya sımsam satama
o dedi
nansonu ciyegi leydi gansı paşa satsa maraya sımsam duada gansı samtavan dini insan da gansı だ、いねだ、ささまれさんさんいねだ。ディ、がよんちよんげま、のたやだ。てけし、ましべな、じげめせべさんろディ、しゅちゃれだ。けじがそちげ、じんましべな、じんしげめせべさんろディ、え、じんしげめさんろたんごすかやま、じんしんしげおまさん。えんでじげおまだ。ただてけし、じんましべな、だ。りましばん、そうましべな。たんがじげさんばやでげじなだ。ゆがゆすみをそちげでにみがちゅり、ぱんげさべさんろディ。 やね、あとたやで、げちもで。で、たばいの、ディコミシ、ニバチョで、マオバイナでにぎ、コハプションな、けわちまいね。でにぎ、サムのでぎ、でにぎ、ま、そのバチやだ。でにぎ、え、ディパマレギ、チャバシュチモロ。で、でにぎ、ニバでかでシュチェルたばね、ディとちょでけわでシュチェルにごら。で、けわでシュチェルはね、でにがとげ、え、たばだ、たんじぎめとばら、たにゃんにとごろ。で、なんがとげ、でにぎ、 另外有什么的，但每个月就把刚刚办的给予出来三百的，但底下了底，他的底这底下了，他的客户都是那个，他把些托客户都是别他把东西三百的，那你讲不当，再往你这些的，讲就是三九个方，现在这些三百的，那讲就是三个面的，那呢，但伢呢，伢同学就给你给穷途那，但的，他把他们就给你托别个。 규정으로서
So tonight we've brought the presentation on the 10 non-virtuous actions to an end. So we've spoken about the causes that lead to that lead to a ripening result of a suffering rebirth. So the rebirth in the lower realms comes from the accumulation of these 10 non-virtuous actions, and the complete actions. So if we therefore manage to completely turn away from engaging in these 10 non-virtues, we will close the door on receiving such a suffering result. And as we mentioned right at the beginning, we all only want to experience happiness. We don't want to experience any kind of suffering. And the strongest form of suffering would be to be reborn in one of the lower realms. So therefore, it's important to adopt this practice of abandoning the 10 non-virtues so as to close the door to lower realm rebirth. We've spoken also a lot in the past about the preciousness of the opportunity that we have on the basis of this human rebirth that we have. And we've spoken about impermanence and how this opportunity that we have will end. So seeing how important it is, it's important that we need to turn away from these non-virtues. But there's one thing to be aware of here, and that's when we've gone through this presentation of 10, we may well have the mind of, some of them aren't so relevant to me. And yes, that may be true. For example, amongst us here, we are all Buddhists, and we probably don't have wrong views. We all accept the Buddha, we all accept causality and the like, so yes, that's probably the case. And there'll be amongst you those who don't have much in the way of harmful intent, those who maybe don't have so much of a covetous mind, I don't know. But And then amongst those acts of speech, then probably we here as a community don't tell lies very often, or engage in divisive speech, or use harsh words and the like. So we probably commit these not so often, although the idle speech we maybe do more often. So, but here, one thing to be aware of is that this mind thinking of, oh, this one and that one and that one, I don't do so much of. I don't need to worry about that so much. So this is a mistake, even if that way of thinking is a mistake, even if you don't do it. Because rather, by generating, as we've spoken about in the past, by generating this strong mind of intention, I won't, today I won't engage in killing. Today I won't steal or take what's not given. Today I won't engage in sexual misconduct, etc. And making this commitment for the day ahead, even today I'm not going to generate wrong views. Now, of course, it's unlikely we were going to anyway. But by doing so, we are now making a virtuous intent. We will be accumulating virtue and the causes for happiness. And also, very importantly, we will be strengthening this habitual way of thinking of these are the actions I will refrain from and I will engage in their opposite. And strengthening this way of thinking will have tremendous benefit, not just in terms of accumulating merit, but strengthening this way of thinking. And this we will take with us in our future lives. So in our future lives, we will more naturally not want to kill, not want to take what's not given, not want to engage in non-virtuous conduct. And in that way, we will, in addition to accumulating virtue, we will be benefiting ourselves in future lives in this way, or improving our way of thinking in the future way, in the future lives. And this actually is what the process of meditation is. It's adopting a new way of thinking through using wisdom and using habituation or familiarity or repeatedly cultivating. And doing that, one turns away from negative habits, strengthens positive habits. And that is the meaning of meditation. So when we look at the 10 non-virtues, even those that we don't engage in, and that may well be the case, still generate the intent, I won't engage in these today, and do this repeatedly, and great benefit will come from this. So that brings the 10 non-virtues to a close. Then next week we'll start at the top of page 112 with the effects of the 10 negative actions. So thank you. Do we have some questions tonight? We start with Cameron.
Is it correct to say that stealing and covetousness are quite closely related? With stealing being taking what was involved, and covetousness simply being wishing for what was not involved.
So, yeah, is it correct to say that stealing and covetousness are closely related? With stealing, where you actually steal it, but covetousness, maybe the wish to steal.
Yeah, or sometimes it's said that stealing is wanting what was not offered, and covetousness might be wishing for what was not offered.
Okay, let me check. Dini, imagine limpa dang nabsen. Dini, joe niapo yasare, then joe de niapa kung joe tangire. Dini, imagine limpa karire, na chikurkire, dini kumakiap pena, kumakiap gire. Dini, the kumakiap sanning, eating a yin, dini tatuk, insas. Dini, nabsen. Then drop it in some gitu. Because in the Gurgi there, then a Chorva Jep and a Kumagab Gire, then a Kumagab Sane, Adi Yu, then a Napsing Young Thompson, then a Dini Drawa de Yereven.
Nambo Kuma, my Jimila Napsing the Kigua. She Napsing the Kine, then a Kuma, it got Joat and Gum Kuma Leho. It got Napsing Tatu to do. Nafsimgi tadu duyashorwa tadu duyode ene de biji hamowachi kuyashorwa tadu duyode kuma charwa
deni kuma kyapsane deni di migewa chu deni topso
tes de na nafsim de la de shi jowa chedi 아니 저랑 야고도 지지 수잔 지디 미디 편이디 저랑 계셔라네 야 저랑 다 저랑 계셔서 파 계셔베나 띵아다루와 진 납심 돈에 다도 주고 이네 디 마진 발렘바스 개마
그거
말아 그래서 그 그비 대버와 디 지주 납심 돈에
디 하고서
다디다 디 납심 납심 지디 구마 말에 납심 돈에 조아시 타도 차상 주버리네 구마세 책 담 납심 기제 미들 디네 말아바체 안 디네야 다 다딩에 구워서 비 대납심 기 구워서 비 슉 슉체르고와 디네 구마 함어 구워네 마침발에 맞 책과
하고서 디네 이 공 페나 공 come che ha come che ha che c'ha si sertane ini come ma che apna deni con come che ha che ti passa con son ini con
le sa sa non male
ha cosa ini napsen che le sag ma sonne con come che ha che dopo io ok deni ha cosa ini come che ha na deni con di mi che va ti per ni sag son
ni sei lo
Okay. So yes, there is the relationship, but not necessarily. So, for example, if you're hinting to someone to I very much like what you have, then this has no relationship with stealing, but it would be the mind of covetousness, or I really like what you have, it's so fantastic, give it to me. So that's got no relationship to stealing, but it's covetousness. But the mind of covetousness that leads to stealing, when that is the act of stealing is completed, then so too is that mind of covetousness, and then both non-virtuous karmas have been accumulated. Okay. Well, thank you very much. See you next week.
Yeah. Yeah.